So, I think the kids who needed it have already found the coloring pages at the back. But before I begin, I'd like to pray, as Jan so often did before he came up and preached. May the words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So, Jesus is actually a really good storyteller. And this part of Matthew, if you're familiar with the flow of this section in the Bible, he tells an awful lot of stories that are, well, kind of everyday things that would be really familiar to his to his listeners. At the time of the story, most people would have had some kind of a garden in the back where they grew their vegetables, and they would be familiar with what was needed with growing wheat because yeah, the bread of life, eh? But today, most of us aren't really actively involved with trying to make a garden grow. So, before we start, I thought I'd kind of do a little survey. Who has a garden here? Okay, that's a fair number of us. That's a good start, good start. And has anybody ever helped to pull weeds? Either, yeah, okay, in your own garden, somebody else's garden, maybe when you were growing up, okay. Did anyone ever have the experience of growing a weed, going to weed the garden because you were told to weed, and then you get yelled at because you pulled out the wrong thing? Okay, a couple of you get that. Did anybody here ever try to pull out the weed, but it was so close to the stuff that was you were trying to grow that you ended up yanking that out at the same time? Yep, okay. This parable Jesus telling. He makes assumptions that everybody kind of has this experience. So, we're going to look very closely at this parable of the weeds. Oh, okay, we'll leave it up. Because I feel like I have some experience with weeds. 15 years ago, my husband agreed to buy a house with a larger back garden so that I could have a vegetable garden. Couple of years, I actually did have a thriving vegetable garden. See, I'm even growing some kids there. They're like jumping up like they're on a trampoline or something. But I have to admit that now, oh, this is shameful. The next slide, please. Okay, this is the reality. It's a battle of the weeds. But next slide, we get rid of that one. Our reading this morning actually shows a properly cultivated field, so we can assume that it looked more like this. But you know, it could actually, there were still, it was sown in its proper time, everything was the way it should be, but still, weeds grow. And this could actually be like a metaphor for our lives. We've been redeemed, and yet we manage to miss the mark, trying to follow God, and we call that sin. No, that's why on Sunday mornings we have kind of a weeding time that we call penitence or confession, which we'll get to in a little bit later. But back to Jesus' story. I think we're ready for the next sign. These particular weeds, which in some translations are called tares, are very tricky because in the beginning they look almost exactly like wheat. So if you can see, it's, yeah, they both got these little things going and things happening. But it's only when the plant is actually really completely mature that the tares actually show themselves. I see yeah, you see? It's, yeah, there's a difference there. Did anyone ever read this story and wonder, what's the big deal? I mean, what's the problem with a little bit of weed seed and with the wheat? I mean, when my garden was reasonably tended, I still had weeds and I was still able to harvest. So I looked it up and I found an explanation. The word we translate as weeds or wheat or tares is actually probably refers to something called darnel, which is false wheat. And darnel is poisonous. And it produces either a drunken nausea or possibly death. So it is something that we could probably call toxic. So if you would just harvest the whole field and, you know, separate the chaff from the grain, not the wheat, but the grain, including the grain from this darnel plant, you could get sick or maybe even die. And that is not what we're supposed to happen. It was actually so dangerous that even in that day, 2,000 years ago, there was a Roman law to prosecute anybody who would sow this bad wheat seed, this darnel seed, in somebody else's field because they wanted to get even with them. Can you imagine how often that must have happened for them to make a law about it? Now, Jesus' explanation is pretty straightforward. He says, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is at the end of the age. And the reapers are angels. Okay, clear. He goes a little more detail. And then he says, this cryptic, those who have ears, let them hear. Well, it might be a pun about the ears, you know, those ears, those sheaves. It's not ears of corn, but okay, it's close. That phrase, though, is repeated a number of times in the Gospels, and usually there's kind of a deeper meaning involved. He might have even had this memory of the parable that we didn't discuss today, previous one, the parable of the soils, or the parable of the sowers, where the Son of Man spreads his seed everywhere. So I was out pulling weeds in my garden. I do that a lot. And I thought about what this deeper meaning could be. And then I did some research. Origen of Alexandria lived about 200 years after Jesus. And he is considered now one of the great geniuses of the early church. He wrote about 2,000 sermons, which have been maintained and we still have. And when he examined this parable, he suggested that each person is, and in and of themselves, a field. And God the Word, Jesus, the Son of God, God the Word, he sows good things and his good word into our lives and into our souls. And yet at the same time as we're going about in the world, the evil one is sowing evil things. Now, to bring it into our society now, I think we might be susceptible to the weedy words and attitudes of the world. It might happen to grown-ups. You're walking down the street, you see an advertisement for ladies' underwear or men's underwear, and they're everywhere in the Netherlands, and they're very explicit because, you know, the Netherlands is kind of this be free, let it all hang out kind of place. And then, of course, there's the more subtle distortions that we see in social media and news media. There's so much available of unwholesome nature in the swipe or click of a button. And it happens to our kids. Any child who has been in school and daycare is coming together with kids who haven't been raised with anything resembling the love of God and the knowledge of Jesus in their homes. And, you know, kids can be cruel. My kids have been bullied at school. And I know grown-ups who have been bullied at work. It's part and parcel of our daily existence. So we're coming to church, we're reading the word, we're listening to music, we're having godly conversations. So we're getting good things into our lives. And maybe the fruit is growing, and yet at the same time, we're still bombarded with bad seed. But I really want to focus on God, who is the good gardener, and not get too far away from what Jesus has said about the parable. First of all, there's good, and there's evil. We have been redeemed, and many around us have not. We are all here together. Now, in the natural world, a weed cannot be transformed into wheat. But we know from the rest of Scripture that it is possible for one who has not been redeemed to become a follower of Jesus. It's like what Dennis was talking about yesterday. They make a radical change. They turn around. They turn away from evil and turn to good. And then they have become wheat. We are in a time that we can still influence those around us, because it's only at the time of harvest, and God only knows when that it will be, that Jesus will return, and there will be that separation of weeds and wheat. In the meantime, we let the good words that the good gardener has sown into our lives, we let them come to fruition. Maybe we keep our eyes open and we do a little bit of weeding ourselves. You know, if we see a small habit, that's not such a good thing, we can weed that out. But we don't always know. It's not always possible to tell when things are small, the small weed growing, the small habit forming. But God does know, and that's why it's important for us to come to Him regularly. As a side note, I have had a weedy habit that I transformed into a good one. Ooh, I tried so many years to actually develop a devotional habit. You know, I thought, if I could just every day get the Word of God into me. And I would have periods where I would read hours a day, and then I would have periods where I read nothing. And then I suddenly recognized, you know, every morning I come downstairs, I check my phone, I check the weather, I see what Fitbit has to say about my sleep, I check my to see if I have any messages that I need to deal with. You know, I check stuff. And then I thought, wait a minute, there are devotional apps out there that I could check too. Ha! It was like a total revelation for me. For many of you, you were like thinking, wow, Chris, did it take you that long to figure it out? You know, we're all works in progress here. Anyways, I now check my morning devotional app and listen to it almost every day, most days. But anyways, back to our story. The second point is that God actually wants us to be fruitful. The master of the household in this parable, he's more concerned about the good seed bearing wheat. He had a plan for dealing with the bad weeds. God is like that. Our Heavenly Father wants us to bear good fruit in our lives. Paul says in Ephesians that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And Jesus says, I chose you and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Fruit which, when tasted, will do the opposite of what the weed does. Remember, darnel was toxic? The fruit that we are to bear from the seed that God plants in us is supposed to be bringing spiritual health and life to those around us. This is part of how we're a work in progress, how we are working out our salvation, as Paul says in Philippians 2:12. And finally, we are not called to look out to see whether other people are weeds or are wheat. Not out there, not in here. We are responsible for being wheat ourselves, letting Him sow good seeds, good words into our lives. And we have to prayerfully go to God, let Him take care of pulling out the bad seeds and the weeds that come with them, the bad habits, the sinful attitudes. The good gardener actually knows exactly how and when to do that, how to deal with the things that are not of Him. And amazingly, sometimes God does that at a time that we think we're supposed to be really fruitful. We end up kind of on our face on the ground. God chooses His times. He will wait until Jesus' return to make that definitive separation between good and evil. And in the same way we commit our lives to him, we allow him to choose how to weed out our bad habits. It's about trusting him, the one who knows us best. Now, the psalm set for today is Psalm 139, which talks about God being our creator, the one who knows us best. So we're going to close this time of reflection by reading together part of this psalm. I'll read the odd verses. You can reply with the even. And then I've asked Evans to lead us in a song to reflect. We recognize that God is our maker, the one who is with us, the one who will lead us. And as we sing, we can prayerfully put our trust in the one who is with us, the one who knows how to deal with the sin in our lives and when. We invite him to search our hearts. And then, finally, we'll go into a time of penitence, bringing back to God any weeds he might have shown us, allowing him to remove them before they become toxic. So, let me find my place, and then we'll start with the psalm. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Evans?